Alrighty, we are back. A little changing of the gears here, folks. Big time, right? With all this stuff with John Gruden and the resignation as we were watching a little Monday Night Football earlier in the week. But all in all, it came down heavy as Gruden resigned as the coach of the Vegas Raiders. All that's happening with emails and the New York Times and the Washington Football Team, I can't think of anybody better to kind of sort everything out for a guy who was in that area at the time, working for radio stations, reporting in the D.C. area, back way in the day of Jack Kent Cook, owner of that Redskin team way back then. Daniel Snyder now, of course, owns now. But really kind of help us unravel and understand a little bit better. I called on my good friend Scott Evans LeBon. He was nice enough to give us a couple of minutes here on a Friday morning. And we say a very good morning to you, sir. How are you feeling?
Jay, a little bit sleepy from last night's fifth game of the National League playoffs there. The topic that everybody's talking about this morning, I'm sure, is that check swing. Questionable call, but I'm very happy for the Dodgers. I was pulling for them. So little sleepy because I stayed up for the whole thing on the East Coast, but ready to talk to you and your listeners as usual. Thanks for having me on as a guest.
Pleasure, my friend. And by the way, don't even bother giving me credit for my selection of the Dodgers earlier in the week to you, sir. And also the fact that I said Cody Bellinger would deliver. Okay, so don't even point that out to the audience. But that's okay. That's okay. I just
once
had the
again,
feeling.
Once again, you're spot on with your predictions. So anyway, I spent some time associated yeah. with the Washington Football Team, better known as the Redskins, from the early 2000s to about 2010.
Yeah.
Which time, Vinny Serrato, remember that name, was the general manager of the Washington Football Team, or at that time the Redskins. He was known to be Daniel Snyder's racquetball partner, and he kept him around quite a long time, as he did after he replaced him with Bruce Allen. Bruce Allen was the general manager while the emails were taking place with former coach Gruden. And as your listeners and you know, John Gruden's brother was the coach of the Washington Football Team at that time that the emails were taking place. So, very dysfunctional organization. The question I have that can be argued all day long is, why is the owner of the football team fined $10 million, the day-to-day operations turned over to his wife, Tanya Snyder, and he just gets basically a slap on the hand because $10 million to a guy like Dan Snyder is like $10 to the average person. And then you get a guy like Gruden, of course, that, you know, you can't get away with the emails by any means, but I think there's a lot more that's going to come out in this story. And I will tell you, the fans of the Redskins at the time when Bruce Allen was the general manager were calling for his head, and they would chant at games, "Fire Allen. Fire Allen." And finally, Snyder moved on. And, you know, several coaching changes. I was through the Jim Zorn era, who came in after Zorn, I'm trying to think now. Spurrier. I'm going out of context in terms of the time frame, but I was there during Zorn, Spurrier, Shanahan, and those are all coaches that I watched try to coach this dysfunctional team. And, of course, the RG3 era with Shanahan. But the only thing I can say that is accurate about this football team is they're very dysfunctional.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Scott Evans LeBon with us. You know, I think the biggest thing here is there's more details to come, right, Scott? Because when you look at this story, how it unraveled and everything else, and listen, Gruden using that type of language to describe, you know, some NFL owners, coaches, journalists who cover the league, you know, it's despicable. He got what he deserved, no question. But really, the big question to me is the correlation of this Washington football team and its current owner, Daniel Snyder, because really, he comes out unscathed. As you mentioned, you know, a $10 million fine is a drop in the bucket to him. So in essence, where is the retribution as far as this organization is concerned? You know, if you find him concluding a years-long inquiry that found the team had indeed fostered a culture of sexual harassment, a culture of bullying, as well as intimidation. And listen, reports from the Washington Post and the Times detail the misdeeds of this club, including the sexual harassment of cheerleaders. Where does it come upon the league to have done something regarding this owner? Because this owner, you know, is as shady as the day is long. I mean, let's face it. Let's call it as it is, okay? But you can certainly make the point of a squeeze play here of, and again, I'm not saying what Gruden did was right. It was deplorable, and he got what he deserved. But in essence, you throw the bows and arrows and everything else in the direction of John Gruden. Where is that same weaponry over at the Washington Football Club these days?
Well, I think the thing that I've read and most people that are following this have seen is that there's a huge discrepancy between the guy writing the check and the guy receiving the check. And what's at stake now, from what I understand, is a big portion of that $100 million guaranteed salary to Gruden. He could forfeit quite a bit of those millions. So, you know, big discrepancy there again. NFL owners are a different breed. One that you and I will never know or never have the privilege of hanging out with. But there's a huge discrepancy there, and it's unfortunate. I think, like you said, Jay, this is just the tip of the iceberg. A lot of these emails are going to become public. There's going to be, to my knowledge, there's 650,000 emails that are being looked at. So it's going to get interesting, nevertheless.
You know, you look at the representation of the 40, what is it, 40, Scott, as far as employees of the club, Washington Club, I'm talking about. I mean, they've called on the league to release more evidence here, all related to Snyder, you know, the owner of the team. And, you know, in essence, you wonder where Morris Smith will come in play here, the NFL executive director, NFLPA executive director, you know, who said the union would petition all the emails to be disclosed, something the league has said it does not plan to do, and you wonder why. You know, and, you know, you can't help but think of the correlation here between the commissioner and the ownership. The commissioner works for the ownership here. So is Roger Goodell, which is going to be a key player in all of this, okay, going forward here, you know, folks, we're looking at 650,000 emails here. This correspondence that came to light as part of this investigation into this club, which fired, as Scott Evans said, which fired Allen, Scott, right back in 2019, okay? So, in essence, how does Goodell and the league proceed here? That is going to be a very key component. Is he going to feel enough heat where, you know what, he opens Pandora's box here regarding Snyder and his club? That is going to be a very key deal going forward here. And this thing is not ending anytime soon. Listen, this thing does not end with John Gruden sitting on the sideline now collecting his $30, $40 million. Okay, he's got $30 million in the bank already. Right now, he doesn't care. Let's see what happens 2 years down the road. Maybe he'll get a job as a water boy for the Canadian Football League. But in essence, the fact of the matter is that this thing is far from being over, in my estimation, no?
I agree. And a couple tidbits for your audience here. I know from reliable sources that around 2019, maybe 2020, when this whole thing with the harassment with the cheerleaders was going on, that Daniel Snyder's home was searched and computers were taken out of his home. So it's like you said, it's just the tip of the iceberg. I think what's getting Snyder off the hook a little bit here is the fact that he changed the name from the Redskins. Because he said at one point, I will never change the name of this team. And then there you go, Washington football team. And, you know, maybe they'll get a permanent name. People are starting to kind of like the Washington football team. They're not going to change the colors of the team. But I think that gave Snyder a little bit of a pass in terms of what he did with the changing of the name of the team.
No question about it. Scott Evans, LeBaugh, as far as what's happening with the Gruden situation. While we got you, got a couple of minutes, Scott, give us your take. You know, you saw Brady last night, age 67 going on 68, and basically doing what he does all the time, right? Throwing touchdown passes, 300 yards plus, a little under last night. But nonetheless, you know, the Buccaneers are 5-1 and everything else. And, you know, listen, you can make the case they're not even playing up to par. You know, they've got a ton of injuries in the secondary. They had to bring in a guy who, you know, Richard Sherman, who has his own problems, out last night with a hammy injury, had to be taken out. But in essence, you know, this team has so many weapons. And it's all about keeping Brady healthy. Even with a bad thumb, he dominates here. At this point in time, are you ready to anoint again this team to go into the Super Bowl in Los Angeles come February?
Well, they certainly look like they're capable of it. And like, as you alluded to with the injuries, you know, you got to get Gronk back. You got to keep Brady healthy. I was surprised because I was getting some information out of Tampa that Brady might not play because of the thumb. And here he is, he comes out. I mean, he is just a creature of a different nature when it comes to playing quarterback in the NFL at his age. So, I mean, they certainly look like they're on the right road to getting there. And we'll see. It's a long season. But I think, you know, come playoff time, there'll be a tough out.
Thing. You know, just kind of switching back to the baseball. You know, there's something wrong with a system when a team that wins 107 games goes up against a team with 106 games, and they're not even fighting for the right to get to the World Series as a representative. In essence, baseball, they must figure this out. You cannot allow, and listen, it bit them right on the keister last night. Because the best team in baseball record-wise is done. And somehow, some way, listen, you got to figure out how to align properly in the postseason. Okay? Get it done, Rob Manfred. You cannot have a situation like this again. It just makes you look so bad. It makes the sport look bad and everything else. Scott, you can never allow two teams to battle out in a divisional round of play. These guys should have been out in the championship series. Should have been a best of seven. You know that. I know that. Listen, the only thing you could salvage from this is if the Braves take out the Dodgers, but who knows. But in essence, terrible job by baseball allowing it to happen.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It's too bad for Giants Nation and their fan base, which was out in full force, that they're waking up this morning and they're out with that kind of season they had. Just unbelievable. And I agree with you. It should have been a seven-game series. 100% in agreement with that. And, you know, we'll see. I would love to see a Dodgers-Astros rematch in the World Series from a few years ago. And, you know, I think you want to see a team like the Dodgers try to repeat, which is so difficult to do, as us Yank fans know. Which leads me to one comment I wanted to make about the Yankees. I'm reading a lot of information about what they need to do to fix this team, and some of them seem so obvious. And you and I have discussed it off air that you know that anybody could pretty much do it, And the latest thing I read was Cashman maybe giving up the GM duties and making him president of baseball operations. But I think because him and Boone are so connected, unfortunately, we're going to see them both back next season. They may have been looking at their future shortstop last night in Seager. They've got to move some players. They've got to bring in some players. As Boone said, they got to catch up with the rest of the league. And that's kind of scary for your manager to say that, but it's true. And then you got the issues with Gallo. I read something really, really funny the other day about Ray Charles wouldn't strike out as many times as Joey Gallo would. And, I just think you can't have these guys that are 6'5 plus, that are not super athletic, that are injury prone, be the 3, 4, 5 hitters of your ball club. So they need to make a lot of moves, and free agency is coming up, and there's a lot of available players that they need. They need so much, Jay. You and I have talked about it, from everyday players to pitching. This is a club that's got a lot of issues right now.
And they have a lot of issues, Scott. You're right. You're the fourth best team in the division. You're not better than the Rays. You're certainly not better than the Blue Jays. And you're not better than the Red Sox the way you're constituted right now. I would agree with you. As devout a fan as I am, I'm ready to move on. And that centers around Gary Sanchez. I've seen enough.
Yep.
You got to make some changes. It starts there. Get yourself a catcher. Get yourself a Contreras. Get yourself somebody who is young enough and has all of the elements of being a catcher rather than plug in a Higashioka from time to time. Listen, this isn't about putting Band-Aids on gashes anymore. There are gashes on this team. Unless it's fixed, this team will end up the way it is. And I have a feeling if Boone stays, there are going to be some big-time changes. Huge change. And listen, the tip of the iceberg was letting Phil Nevin go. Phil Nevin led the league in runs being potentials being thrown at the plate. That's one of the reasons why you have to let a guy like that go. We'll talk more. Can't thank you enough, my friend, up against the clock. Scott Evans-Labar in the nation's capital getting us. Go ahead, pal. Listening.
Just a quick shout out to my grandkids in Long Island. Want to say hello to Mackenzie and Landon, my favorite.
Thanks for having me on. Shameless. Shameless, I say, but that's all well deserved. Thanks again, pal. Appreciate it all.